My topic this morning is luck, hap, and chance. It may seem like an interesting topic. I think it is. I think it should be. I want to just give you a brief introduction as to why I'm covering this morning. There are people out there that think the idea of luck is pagan, and they think that Christians should never use the word lucky or luck. And I used to actually be one of these people. I used to believe this, and I don't know, I think I heard this probably growing up in the church I grew up in or something, and I was always a little bit self-conscious about saying luck, like, oh, I'm lucky, or something like that, because people would tell me, no, no, you're not lucky, you're blessed. You know, Christians are blessed, they're not lucky. And so I want to, part of the reason for this study is to show you that that idea is actually not true. Luck is not a pagan thing, necessarily. And there's nothing wrong with using the words lucky or luck. And I'm going to show this to you absolutely beyond question. There are people out there that think that nothing happens by chance. They think that all of the events of life are predestinated by God. So every little thing, everything that happens is absolutely predestinated by God, and that He is actively controlling every single thing in the universe, in our lives, at all times. This would be called absolute predestinarianism. I'll get into this next Sunday, but if you just look at the word predestination in the Bible, it's only used four times, and it's always used referring to eternal salvation. Never in the Bible does it say that God predestinated anything else besides His people to eternal salvation, to heaven. I mean, the word predestinate. Your destinate is where your destination is where you end up in, where you end up at. Pre meaning before God, before determines where you end up, in the ultimate sense there. I've had Christians in other churches tell me that they believe that nothing happens by coincidence. And I'd say, you know, I don't believe in coincidence. Nothing. There is no such thing as coincidence. And I'm going to show you that's not true either. They would think basically that everything is orchestrated and nothing is left to chance or to man's will. Like that man's will plays no part, that just God determines everything that's going to happen, predestinates everything that's going to happen. And so therefore the idea of chance is impossible. There can be no chance if God is making every single thing happen just as He decreed it would happen. This study is going to show that these ideas are not true. The idea that nothing happens by chance and that all events are predestinated by God. I'm going to show you that's not true. I'll show you that things do happen by chance today, and then we'll get into this absolute predestination idea next Sunday, Lord willing. Believers sometimes say that Christians are not lucky, they're blessed. Right? I made reference to that a minute ago. You've probably, I don't know if anybody ever hear that? Raise of hands. Christians aren't lucky, they're blessed, right? And I heard that growing up, like I said, and I used to say that myself. But this study is going to show you that lucky, the words lucky and blessed are synonyms. They mean the exact same thing. So therefore, the statement that Christians are not lucky, they're blessed, is self-contradictory. Just like the statement, if I were to get up here and say, look, everybody, geniuses are not smart, they're intelligent. And you'd say, that means the same thing, right? You can't say they're not smart, they're intelligent, because smart equals intelligent. Well, you can't say that Christians are not lucky, they're blessed, because lucky equals blessed. They're the same, they mean the same thing, and I will prove that to you as we go through this. Part of this study is just going to be semantics, meaning that we're going to look at words and just see that people are assuming words mean different things than they do, and they're using words improperly, and therefore, you know, that's part of the problem. And then part of the problem is that there are, you know, people out there that just don't believe there's anything, any such thing as chance at all. So there's really two main parts to this study. So this study is designed to clear up misunderstandings about the conceptions of luck and chance, and also to relieve Christians of the burden of being afraid to use certain words that are perfectly fine to use. It's perfectly fine to say that, boy, I was lucky that that happened to me. There's nothing wrong with that. Under one caveat, which I'll get to later on. There is one caveat there, of course. but I'm going to leave you hanging on that one, and we'll get to it. So first, let's go. First of all, let's look at some definitions, and I'm going to define a whole bunch of words here, and then we're going to get into the study, and then I'll make reference to these words as we go through. So let's first of all look at the word luck. Luck is defined as fortune, good or ill, the fortuitous happenings of events favorable or unfavorable to the interest of a person's condition with regard to the favorable or unfavorable character of some fortuitous event, or of the majority of the fortuitous events in which he has an interest. Often with the adjective as bad luck or hard luck or evil luck or good luck or ill luck. Also, the imagined tendency of chance, especially in matters of gambling, to produce events continuously favorable or continuously unfavorable, the friendly or hostile disposition ascribed to chance at a particular time. So some people would say, oh, that guy's lucky, meaning that he just seems like he always wins. Well, chances are nobody's lucky in that sense, because most people probably don't always win, because there's a thing called probability. When you play the lottery, you know, that's why you don't generally see the same guy winning the lottery over and over again, right? There's probability. So the idea that somebody's lucky that they win all the time, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's just if that actually happens, it's a rare instance of probability. Unless for some reason God is causing him to win a lot. I mean, God could do that, right? We don't have Bible that tells us that God does that, so we'd have to just speculate and assume that God is causing somebody to win all the time. He could, but, you know, we don't know about that for sure. The next word is fortune. So lucky was defined by fortune. Fortune is chance, hap, or luck, regarded as a cause of events and changes in men's affairs. Luck was also defined as fortuitous, the fortuitous happening of events, favorable or unfavorable. Fortuitous is the happenings or that happens or is produced by fortune or chance, accidental, causal. Now let's look at lucky. That's the adjective form of the noun luck. Lucky is defined, when we're speaking of persons, is having or attending or attended by good luck. In early use, often fortunate, successful, prosperous, now with narrower meaning, favored by chance, successful through the causes of one's own action or merit. We're going to look at Ecclesiastes 9, and we're going to see there that Ecclesiastes 9 talks about people who get things by chance. In other words, by luck. They didn't really work for them. They just fell into their lap, and that kind of thing happens in this life. Fortunate is defined, and fortunate was used to define, one of these other words was defined as fortunate. I'm not seeing that right now. Anyway, fortunate is defined as favored by fortune, possessed of or receiving good fortune, lucky, prosperous, set of persons also of an enterprise, event, etc. Now, the second word, I said this, the title of the sermon was luck, hap, and chance. Hap is defined as chance or fortune, good or bad, that falls to anyone, luck, lot. Now, the Bible uses this term. The Bible uses the term hap. And you notice that hap means fortune, which is what luck means. Luck is defined as fortune, good or ill. Hap is defined as chance or fortune. And hap is defined as luck, right there in the definition. And the Bible uses this term positively. It doesn't use it as a pejorative. It uses it positively. Nothing wrong with hap, or luck, in other words. Happy is another word the Bible uses in a positive sense. Happy is the adjective. It is coming or happening by chance, fortuitous, chance. It's having good hap or fortune, lucky, fortunate, favored by lot, position, or other external circumstance, blessed, beatified. So happy means lucky or blessed, right? So that's what I'm saying there. People say that Christians aren't lucky, they're blessed. Well, happy means lucky and blessed. Lucky and blessed are synonyms. Let's look at blessed. I know we're getting a lot of definitions here. We're going to get to some scripture and some interesting stuff here in just a minute. Blessed is consecrated. So this is the primary definition. Consecrated, hallowed, holy, consecrated by a religious rite or ceremony. So that would be something that if the Lord blessed a certain thing, he's consecrated it to the use of his service or something. Number two, it's that is the object of adoring reverence, adorable, worthy to be blessed by men. Like Jesus Christ is said to be God blessed forever, right? That we adore him, we give him reverence, and so on. And then number three is enjoying supreme felicity, happy and fortunate. Okay, so number three of blessed matches up there with number two of happy, right? Happy means having good hap or fortune or lucky or blessed, and blessed means happy or fortunate. So we see that these words are all can be used synonymously. And then we have chance, would be the last word that I'm going to define here in this group. Chance is the falling out or happening of events, the way in which things fall out, fortune, case. It's a happening or occurrence of things in a particular way, a casual or fortuitous circumstance, accident. And then when we look up the phrase by chance, that's part of this definition, so it actually defines the phrase there. By chance means as it falls or fell out, without design, casually, accidentally, incidentally, happily, by any chance or perchance. So chance, when something happens by chance, chance is accident, chance is something that is the way things fall out, it's just the fortune, it's the way things happen naturally. And then when something is by chance, it is without design, it's accidentally, it's just happens. Nobody planned it that way. It just happens. Okay? Now, as the definitions plainly show, luck, hap, and chance are all synonyms. And they defined each other with their definitions. The words luck and lucky are not in the Bible. You can search your Bible. In vain, you will not find the words luck or lucky. But the concept most definitely is. Now, just a little word of wisdom here. You don't ever want to make an argument by saying that word is not in the Bible, right? Because that argument will come upon itself. Somebody could turn around and use that argument against you very, very easily. They'd say, well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, so therefore the concept of the Trinity is false. No, the concept of the Trinity is not false, just because the word is not in the Bible. The concept of the Trinity is in the Bible. 1 John 5:7 states it pretty plainly, though it doesn't use that word. It's the same thing with luck or lucky. The words are not in the Bible, but the concept is. And furthermore, the synonyms are there in the Bible, like happy and hap, as I just read to you. Now, fortuitous events happen to God's children, such as Ruth, whose hap it was to end up gleaning in Boaz's field. Look at Ruth chapter 2 and verse 3. This is why I read this passage at the beginning of the service today. Ruth 2 and verse 3. Ruth had gone to Moab with her mother-in-law, Naomi, and her Naomi's husband. And Ruth and her sister both had husbands there. And Naomi's husband dies. And then Ruth and her sister-in-law, Orpah, their husbands both die. Naomi wants to go back to Israel, and she tells Ruth to stay. And Ruth said, no, I'm not going to stay. I'm going with you. Your God's going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. So she went back with her. But now, without husbands, Ruth doesn't have a husband. Naomi doesn't have a husband. Naomi's older. Somebody needed to go out there and get them some food. And Ruth went out, being the virtuous woman that she was, and gathered food for her household because they didn't have a husband to do it for them. And Ruth ends up in the field of Boaz. Let's look here in verse 3. Boaz was a rich man, as we read about this morning. In Ruth 2 and verse 3, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech, her hap. Now hap, I will define again for you, means chance or fortune, good or bad, that falls to anyone, luck, lot. Okay? Her hap was to end up in Boaz's field. And hap means luck. So in other words, Ruth was fortunate and lucky to land in Boaz's field. Right? Hap equals luck. So to say that Ruth was lucky to end up in Boaz's field, there's nothing wrong with that. That is 100% true. She was lucky. Okay? Nothing wrong with using the word luck to describe Ruth's circumstance because hap means luck. Now, did Ruth end up in Boaz's field purely by random chance? No, absolutely not. She didn't end up there purely by random chance. It says in the scripture that a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Let's turn there to Proverbs 16 and verse 9. Proverbs 16 and verse 9. My point here is to say that there's nothing wrong with saying that Ruth was lucky. But to say that she was lucky does not mean that this fortuitous happening to her just happened randomly and that God had no input into it whatsoever. That's obviously not the case in this case. Proverbs 16 and verse 9 says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." So yes, Ruth's heart devised her way. She was probably walking along and saw a field over there and thought, well, that field looks good. I don't know why she went to the field that she did, but she went to the field that she did. Her heart devised her way. The Lord directed her steps. The Lord directed her to that field, which is pretty clear and apparent when you read the rest of the story there in Ruth. The Lord obviously had a purpose in that. You see, Ruth trusted in the Lord with all of her heart. Look at Ruth 1 and verse 16. And when you do that, when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, then the Lord will direct your path. Ruth 1 and verse 16 says, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee." This is her talking to Naomi when she told her to stay in Moab. "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God." Right, so she is seeking the Lord and trusting in the Lord with all of her heart. And God says in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, that when you do that, he directs your paths. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." She could have leaned to her own understanding and said, we're screwed, right? Mom, you know, Mom and I, we've got nobody to provide for us. What are we going to do? I'm going to have to go sell myself or something, right? She could have leaned to her own understanding, but she didn't. She trusted in the Lord. She went to Israel, and then she went out and she started gleaning in the field. And the Lord directed her paths to a rich benefactor who ended up eventually becoming her husband. And she ended up becoming, I think it was the great-grandmother of King David. And eventually, she ended up becoming the 42 great grandmother of Jesus Christ. She was in his lineage as well. Now, happy. Let's look at happy. It's a synonym of lucky and blessed. Happy is defined, I'll define it for you again here, coming or happening by chance, fortuitous chance, having good hap or fortune, lucky, fortunate, favored by lot, position, or other external circumstance. We'll talk about lots here next Sunday, Lord willing. Happy, and then it means blessed, beatified. So happy means blessed or lucky. And blessed, as we saw before, means enjoying supreme felicity, happy, or fortunate. Now, the Bible actually shows that these words are synonyms, happy and blessed. Let me show you a verse which will show us that these words are synonyms. Look at Genesis 30 and verse 13. Genesis 30 and verse 13. This is why I use the second definition of happy and the third definition of blessed, because they define each other in those definitions, and the Bible shows us here that they are synonyms, meaning those things. Genesis 30 and verse 13. This is whenever Leah became pregnant. She was very thankful for that. Leah was Jacob's wife. He was the wife that he didn't really want, the wife that he got because he was swindled into it. And then he ended up getting Rachel. And since Leah was not favored like Rachel was in Jacob's eyes, God blessed Leah, and she ended up bearing many more children and much earlier than Rachel did. Anyway, here in verse 13, it says, "And Leah said, 'Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed.'" And she called his name Asher. Happy am I, they're going to call me blessed. Why are they going to call you blessed, Leah? Because you're happy. What does happy mean? Lucky, fortunate. The daughters are going to call me blessed. They're going to say, boy, you are lucky. You are fortunate. You are blessed of God because you have borne a son. All right? So happy and blessed are synonyms, and they both mean lucky. So therefore, women who conceive and bear children are lucky, since happy means lucky. So any of you women here that have bore children, you can consider yourselves lucky. But I'm going to show you some other things that the Bible says that we are lucky for as well, or blessed, or happy. Let's look at some of them here. First of all, people who are saved by God and belong to Him, they are happy. Look at Deuteronomy 33, verse 29. Wayne said to me this morning that, oh, the Bible probably doesn't have a whole lot to say about this, does it? And I said, actually, it does. When you get the synonyms and then you start looking up all the places the synonyms are used, yes, the Bible has a lot to say about this subject, as a matter of fact. Deuteronomy 33, verse 29. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 29. It says, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." So the Lord here says that Israel is happy. They are happy because why? Because they are saved by the Lord. So people that are saved by God are happy. And what does happy mean? Lucky. You are lucky people. Let me show you that if you belong to the Lord, likewise, you are happy. Psalm 144 and verse 15. Psalm 144 and verse 15. It says, "Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord." So if you belong to God, if God is your God, if the true God is your God, and He has saved you by His grace, you are happy. Which means you are lucky. I'm a lucky man because I've been saved by God and I belong to Him, and so are all of you. Those that learn from wise men and find wisdom are happy. Remember King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived? Turn to 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 8. You remember King Solomon, God gave him wisdom exceedingly, more wisdom than any other person on the earth at that time. Only ever to be exceeded by the Lord Jesus Christ. And people would come from miles around, from the ends of the earth, it was said, from all over the place to hear Solomon's wisdom. And the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, came to hear Solomon's wisdom, and she was absolutely blown away. 1 Kings 10 and verse 8, she said, "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom." You know what she's saying? These are some lucky guys. These are some lucky men that are standing here that get to hear your wisdom. And that would be, you'd be a lucky guy. We're lucky. We got the Proverbs that Solomon wrote down. But imagine knowing him and sitting by him and getting to ask him personal questions and have him just give you the most amazing answers that, wow, I never thought about that. That is truly profound. You'd be a lucky guy to be able to be around a guy like Solomon. Look at Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." You see, I'm a lucky man because I have found wisdom in the Word of God. Now, I didn't find it by, you know, random chance. I didn't find it through my own determination. I found it because God was good to me. God revealed it to me. God put me in a place where I would meet a man that would tell me the truth, right? God did that. I was lucky, blessed, happy. Those whom God corrects are happy. We don't know, we don't usually look at this as being lucky, but you are lucky if you've been corrected. Look at Job 5 and verse 17. Job 5 and verse 17. It says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." Now, normally, whenever we get a good beating from God, we don't say, "Boy, am I lucky. Boy, that was... I feel bad for these other unlucky folks who are not suffering like I am." We don't normally think that way, do we? But if you're thinking biblically, then you should realize, boy, I'm happy, I'm blessed, I'm lucky. Because, you know why? Because I'm getting chastened. Number one, I'm not going to continue in the folly that I was, because God is doing something about that. But number two, it means that God loves me. Because God doesn't chasten those whom he does not love. God only chastens his sons. And if you are without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, the Bible says, then are you bastards and not sons. Right? So if you've been chastened by God, if you've suffered for foolish decisions or sinful actions or whatever, you are blessed. You are lucky. Another thing the Scripture says of that people are lucky for is having many children. Look at Psalm 127 and verse 5. This is another case of people in the world don't think biblically. People in the world nowadays, if they see you and you have 5, 6, 7, 8 kids, you know what people in the world think? They automatically think, "Oh, you poor thing. I feel so bad for you." That's the dumbest thing ever. God says, "You are blessed beyond measure." The world says, "Boy, I really feel bad for you. That's terrible." That's crazy. Psalm 127 and verse 5. Psalm 127 and verse 5. That's 126. 127, 5. "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." The "full of them" there is the children there in verse 3. "Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." And then he says, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Yes, the person, the man, the woman that has a lot of children are lucky. And let me tell you, those of us who can't have them know how lucky people that have them are. Those who suffer for Christ are happy. Look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 14. 1 Peter 3 and verse 14. It says, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. God says, if you suffer, not for foolishness, but for righteousness' sake, you take a stand for righteousness and you suffer for it. You take a stand and you get fired for it. You take a stand and you get put in prison for it. Or you take a stand and you get ridiculed by your friends or by the kids at school or the people at work or your family or whatever, you suffer like that, you are lucky. Now, most people that don't think biblically would think, "That's horrible. Boy, you have a bad lot in life." No, you have a good lot in life. Look at chapter 4 and verse 14. Peter reiterates here again, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of God and of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified." When people reproach you for the name of Christ, or when they reproach Christ to try to make you look bad or to try to irritate you, yeah, he's reproached in their eyes, in the sight of the world, right? He's evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. God gets glory from that. When people say, "I could never believe in a God that you believe in, a God that hates people, a God that wouldn't give some people a chance," oh yeah, he's reproached in their eyes. He's evil spoken of in their eyes, but he's glorified in your eyes. He is glorified in that. So you're lucky. I've been lucky. I have been lucky enough to have suffered for Christ. And if you've suffered for him, you've been lucky too. It's just, if you could see my metaphysical cap that I wear, there are a lot of feathers in it. I get a feather in my cap every time somebody reproaches me for the name of Christ. And it just so happens I have a lot more opportunity than you do, because I put out 500 and some videos on YouTube, and there's a lot of opportunity for people to reproach me, right? So I get a lot of feathers in my cap, a lot of reproach. And I'm thankful for every bit of it. Those who know that we ought to wash each other's feet and do it are happy. This will be the last one I'll give you here in this list. Look at John 13 and verse 17. Here's another thing that we are lucky for. John 13, 17. I know I've made this point many times. It seems like almost every time we wash feet, I'm reminded of this point and I make it. John 13 and verse 17, Jesus said, "If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." So if you know about feet washing and you do it, you're lucky, right? Because, you know, there aren't very many people out there that know about it and that do it. Probably most people were like I was, I suppose, and probably grew up going to church their whole life, probably read the Bible a time or two or something, and they read right over that and just thought, oh, well, you know, that's just what they did back then. And they just don't think a thing about it. They don't even, never even crosses their mind that when Jesus said, "If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet," and just breeze right over that and just never even think a thing about it. But we're lucky that somebody pointed this out to us and said, hey, you know, that's actually what it says. He said that you ought to wash one another's feet. We're lucky. We're lucky we know that. We're lucky we get a chance to do it. So therefore, the members of this church are lucky people for numerous reasons, many of the reasons that I just gave there. I am among a group of lucky people. And you probably didn't know that. You may have said before, I'm not lucky. I never win anything. Let me tell you what, you are lucky. You're saved by God, right? You've been reproached for the name of Christ. Many of you have children. You've been corrected by God. And I know you've been corrected by God because I'm the guy that does it a lot of the times. So I know you have been from this pulpit anyway. And you've washed each other's feet. So yeah, you are. We are a lucky bunch here. Now, in that happy, blessed, and lucky are synonyms, we don't want to make a man an offender for a word if he says that he was lucky that a certain good thing happened to him. Turn with me to Isaiah 29 and verse 21. I want to be really careful about this, about making somebody an offender for a word. Especially if there's nothing wrong with the word. But you know what? Even if there is something wrong with a word somebody uses, we don't ever want to jump all over somebody and say, ah, you used that word, and you shouldn't have used that word, right? Because maybe the person didn't even know about the word that there was something wrong with it, right? Because we learn things as we go through life, so sometimes maybe we do use a word that we really shouldn't use. So when you find out about that, point it out to somebody, but don't make a man an offender for it. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. But then secondly, maybe there are words that we use, like whenever we talk about somebody, say, make some offhanded comment about them when they're not standing there, right? And then it's overheard that we said something foolish and wrong. We shouldn't have said that, right? We don't want to make a man an offender for that either. Actually, just keep your finger there in Isaiah 29, and I'm just going to turn over here to a passage in turning the wrong way. That's why I couldn't find it. In Ecclesiastes, just to show you that if you happen to hear somebody make some comment that wasn't very kind, just always remind yourself, before you jump all over that guy and say what a wretched person he is, ask yourself, have I done it? Have I done it? And chances are, you have, and I have. And you know what? When I did that, I was probably very happy that the person that I said something about that I shouldn't have, I was probably very happy that they didn't hear about that, right? Well, you know what? Just let it go. When you hear somebody say something unkind about you, or maybe you heard that through the grapevine that somebody said something unkind about you, just let it go. Let it go, because you know you've done so likewise. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 21, "Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others." All right, so you don't want to make a big deal about it. But now back to Isaiah 29 and verse 21. The Lord here is condemning people that make a man an offender for a word. He says that make a man an offender for a word and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. There are people out there. There are people out there that, well, like they did to Jesus Christ, they lie in wait and they just want to catch him in some, they want to hear him say something that they can then accuse him for and say, oh, you shouldn't have said that. You know, you misspoke there. And especially if it's the guy that reproves in the gate, you know, Jesus Christ, they wanted to catch him. Sometimes people like to catch the pastor. If they get mad at the pastor, then they start listening to the sermons really carefully. They weren't paying much attention before, but after they get mad, then they start listening very carefully. And they want to hear the pastor say something that they can turn around and condemn him for. I remember reading in Charles Spurgeon's book, Lectures to My Students, he was talking about, I don't remember exactly what he was talking about, but anyway, he was talking about how some people in your congregation will be very critical of you. And you're just naturally going to have that, you know, for the most part. Actually, thankfully, I don't have that in this church. I don't have people that are critical of me in this church. But you will, pastors do have that from time to time because churches are made up of people and sometimes people are just people, right? But anyway, he had a guy, and Charles Spurgeon was called the Prince of Preachers. So he was a really good preacher. He didn't always have the truth. He was a little mixed up on that. But as far as his preaching ability, incredible. From what I've heard, of course, because I've never heard him and neither has anybody else because they didn't have recordings back then. It was in the 1850s, but his sermons are written out. But anyway, he was supposed to be amazing. Anyway, he had a guy in his church that would listen to him, and every time he misspoke, every time he probably used the wrong tense in a verb or whatever, any little thing, he'd write it down and I guess put it in the offering plate and just tell him, you said this when you should have said this, you know, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, every single Sunday. And Spurgeon said, you know what? I didn't let it get to me. I just took it and used it to help improve myself. You know, that guy was hopeless to try to get that guy to like him. You know, probably wasn't going to happen. But that was just the way the guy was. He was just kind of a cantankerous old coot, I guess. But Spurgeon said, hey, why not? Just take it and learn from it and be thankful for a critic like that. Because you know what? Most people don't have the guts to tell you whenever you messed up. Right, and I like it when people tell me I messed up, and that happens to me quite frequently. As a matter of fact, it seems like I misspeak quite a bit. But I'm fine with you coming up and telling me, hey, you actually said you misspoke, or especially if it's something that I just got flat out wrong. Right, then I definitely want you to tell me about that. Anyway, so the point is, you don't want to make a man an offender, especially for saying something like he says, "Well, boy, I was really lucky." Well, don't say, "Well, you shouldn't say lucky." Well, lucky is a synonym of blessed and happy, and there's nothing wrong with saying that. Now, if a man says that he is happy or blessed, that a thing has happened to him, he's saying that he's lucky, like I said, because the words are synonyms. And if you wouldn't reprove him for saying that he's happy or blessed, then don't reprove him for saying that he's lucky. Now, here's the important thing, right here. This is a key point in the whole understanding of the idea of luck. The important thing is not whether the word happy or blessed or lucky is used, but rather to whom the hap, luck, or blessing is ascribed. That is the important thing. Doesn't matter if you say lucky or you say blessed. If you want to say you don't like lucky and you just want to say blessed, go ahead and say blessed. It's not a big deal. And if somebody else says lucky, it's not a big deal. The big deal is to whom the luck, hap, or blessing is ascribed. For instance, if somebody says, I was blessed to get the job, we'd say, oh, that's wonderful. What if somebody says, I was lucky to get that job? Well, that's wonderful too. Nothing wrong with saying that. Now, what if the same guy either says or means by that, the stars aligned and I got that job? He's a pagan, right? He's ascribing luck to the stars aligning. He's a pagan, right? So that's wrong. Whether he said, I was blessed or I was lucky doesn't matter. He could have said, oh, I was so blessed because the stars aligned. It doesn't matter. You're a pagan, right? But if a guy says, I was blessed or lucky that I got the job because God gave it to me, then he's a Christian. That's fine. Whether he says I was lucky or I was blessed, it doesn't matter, right? It's to whom the blessing or the luck is ascribed. That is the important thing. Now, fortuitous events happen to all of God's children. Now, some of them happen as a direct gift of God, such as salvation or conceiving a child. And I already showed you those verses. We won't go back over them. You know, those are direct blessings from God. The fruit of the womb, it says, is His reward, right? God blesses people to have children. That's a direct gift from God. Salvation, obviously, is the gift of God, the Scripture tells us. Finding a wife is another direct blessing from God. Proverbs 18 and verse 22. Proverbs 18 and verse 22. It says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord." So yes, if you found a wife, a good godly wife, you have obtained favor of the Lord. You have been blessed by God. That's a direct gift from God. But some fortuitous events happen by chance, or at least they could happen by chance, like getting a hole-in-one golfing, or winning a raffle, or winning the lottery, or finding a $100 bill on an old couch that was dumped off at the dumpster, something like that. That happens by chance, or at least it could happen by chance. Now, God could cause you to win the lottery. Of course He could, right? He can do anything, right? He could cause that. But it could also happen by chance, and many times does. Because, you know, there's some things that God just doesn't care about, right? He just, as long as you are within, like, making decisions, right? As long as you are within the framework of the Word of God, whether you buy the blue house or the green house, God probably doesn't care about it. And how would you know if He did care about it? Because He doesn't tell you whether He cares about it. As long as you follow the principles and you're not going into excessive debt to get that house or you know, you're whatever, I don't know whatever other problem with that there would be, but as long as you're following biblical guidelines, God doesn't care about the nitty-gritty of it. Let me just give you an example. So some of these things, these happen by chance. Like the raffles are really easy one to understand. If somebody sells 100 raffle tickets, and you have the 100 people that bought the raffle tickets in the room, right? And that one of those tickets is drawn, somebody is going to win that raffle, period, right? Whether God has any interest in it or not, somebody is going to win the raffle, right? As long as God permits the guy that picks the ticket out to not die before he does it, if a ticket gets picked, somebody wins the raffle. God may have an interest in it, He may not. Who am I to say He has an interest in it when He has not told me that He has interest in such things, right? But regardless, it could be by chance because somebody's going to win it. Chance is going to be covered a little bit later. Now, when we say that we are lucky to have this or that, we should always recognize three things, one of three things. The blessing either came directly as a gift from God, right? That like the wife, the salvation, things like that, right? And possibly other things. Or number two, the blessing might have come directly from God. So maybe we don't know for sure if it came directly from God. Maybe it was chance. Maybe it was God's gift. We're not sure, but you know what? When something good happens to you, you assume that it might have happened. God might have blessed me with it, and He still deserves to be praised for it. Or number three, when a blessing comes, God allowed it to come to us through chance, and therefore He is still to be thanked for it. Because God permits chance to happen, and I'll prove that to you. God permits it to happen. So like the example with the raffle ticket, if you won the raffle ticket, and maybe it was purely chance. Maybe God really didn't care. Purely chance, and you win it. You still thank God for it because you know what? Number one, God could have prevented you from winning it, right? God allowed you to win it. He allowed your name to be picked. Even if He just did simply that, just says, I'm going to allow you to win it if chance ends up giving it to you, okay? So you always want to thank God for it. Regardless. So no matter what, we should always thank God for every good thing and for every bad thing, for that matter, that happens to us, because they are all either directly or indirectly gifts from God. Look at Ecclesiastes. First of all, I want to show you that you should thank God for good and bad things that happen. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 14. A lot of times we end up not thanking God at all because when the good things happen, we forget. We forget to thank God because we're so excited about the good thing and we don't even think to thank God. And when the bad things happen, the last thing we want to do is thank God for it. So a lot of times poor God does not get thanked at all when he should get thanked in every circumstance. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 14, it says, in the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. So whether it's a day of prosperity or adversity, good things or bad things, God sets the one over against the other. God puts both of those things in your life, and we should be joyful and thankful for both of them. Because every gift comes from God. James 1 and verse 17. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So every good and perfect gift comes from God. And like I said there, three ways. Could be a direct gift from him. It could be, or two ways. It could be a direct gift from him, or it could be him allowing chance to happen and blessing you thereby. Either way, it still ultimately comes from God. Now, God is sovereign over all creation. Now, when I say that chance happens, I'm not saying that there are things outside of God's control that well, my hands are tied, chance happens and I can't control it. That's not true. God is in control of all creation. Let me just rattle off a few verses here just to show you this. 1 Chronicles 29, 11 through 12. 1 Chronicles 29, 11 through 12. It says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. So yeah, God reigns over all. God's in control of all. God deals out riches as it pleases him to do so. He's exalted and head above all. He is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Look at Psalm 115 and verse 3. Psalm 115 and verse 3. It says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. He didn't have to ask anybody's permission. He does whatever he wants. He is sovereign. Psalm 135 and verse 6. Just giving you, just rattling off a handful of them here just to show you. Psalm 135 and verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth and in the seas and in all deep places. He does whatever he wants. Let me ask you a question. What if God wants to allow chance to happen? Can he not will to allow chance to happen? Of course he can. He does whatever he wants. If he wants to let chance happen, he'll let chance happen. Look at Isaiah 14 and verse 24. Isaiah 14 and verse 24. It says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. When God thinks about it, it happens. When we think about it, then we have to put plans into action, and then maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't, maybe we have the power, maybe we don't, maybe there's unforeseen things that we just can't overcome. When God thinks about it, it happens. It's because he's God. Daniel 4:35 says, it was Nebuchadnezzar's famous saying, that God rules and reigns over all, and nobody can say unto him, what doest thou? Daniel 4 and verse 35 says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? So God is absolutely sovereign, right? He is in control. No doubt about it. Now, though God could actively cause every movement and event that occurs in the universe, sometimes he does leave things to chance. He could, right? The absolute predestinarians could hypothetically be right in an alternate universe that God had created. He could have caused every single little thing to happen, and all of the inhabitants of that alternate universe could be puppets on a string doing precisely exactly whatever God says and have no free will whatsoever. Yeah, that is a metaphysical possibility. It's not what the scripture teaches, but it's possible. God could do that, but he hasn't done that. So the absoluters and some Calvinists would disagree with this. They would disagree that God leaves some things to chance. But they're going to have to disagree with the Bible if they do so. Look at Luke 10 and verse 31. There are things that happen by chance if you believe your Bible. Luke 10 and verse 31. Luke 10 and verse 31. This is the story of the Good Samaritan. And you remember the guy fell among thieves and he was left half dead. And then a Levite comes by and a priest comes by. And then finally the Samaritan comes by and helps the guy. Well, here's what it said there in Luke 10 and verse 31. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. What does that say? And by chance, the priest came. By chance. Chance, and specifically by chance, the phrase by chance means as it falls or fell out without design. Casually, accidentally, incidentally, happily, by any chance or perchance, without design. Now, if words mean anything, the priest did not walk by the man that was fallen among thieves by design. If words mean anything, he walked by him without design, by chance. So to say that God leaves nothing up to chance is just unbiblical. The guy walked by him by chance. I don't know how to make it any more plain. The young man that reported Saul's death, here's another one. Back in the days of Saul and Jonathan, his son, they were both killed. Saul killed himself. And this young man found Saul dead. And he goes to David and he makes up this story because he thinks David's going to be happy about it. And he tells David that he killed Saul. Well, he was lying about it, and he ended up paying for that lie with his life. But I want you to notice what he said here. 2 Samuel 1 and verse 6. 2 Samuel 1 and verse 6. It says, "And the young man that told him said, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him." And then he goes on to say that he ended up killing Saul. Saul asked him to kill him, and he did it, which is not true. That he wouldn't do it. The guy that Saul asked to do it wouldn't do it, and Saul fell on his own sword. Anyway, this guy thought that David's going to be happy about that. But notice what he said there. He said, by chance, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa. Now, as we read in verses 9 and 10, and then in verses 14 through 16, when he tells David about that, David was not happy that he killed the Lord's anointed, and David had him killed. But David didn't chastise him for saying, I came by him by chance. He chastised him, so-called, killed him, because he thought that he had killed Saul. So I was just giving you an example of another usage of that phrase, by chance, in Scripture. Now, Scripture teaches that time and chance happen to us all. Turn to Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11. Now you have a lot of Calvinists and absoluters that'll say, no such thing as chance. God leaves nothing to chance. That's not what the wisest man in the world thought. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11, under the inspiration of God, no doubt. Ecclesiastes 9:11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Now there's two possibilities here. Either Solomon is lying or he's incorrect, and there's no such thing as chance, or else the Calvinists and the absoluters are wrong. Somebody's wrong here. Either the absoluters and Calvinists are wrong, or Solomon's wrong, and since God inspired him to write it, God's wrong. So somebody's wrong here, and I'm going to go with God, that he's right, and that the Calvinists and absoluters are wrong, that there actually is chance. Time and chance happeneth to them all. You've probably experienced this before. Have you not ever got a lucky break, so-called? Did you not ever get a job that, like, wow, that was a, what a deal? You know, I just fell into that, right? Time and chance happeneth to them all. Could God have directly given it to you? Absolutely. Might he have? Quite possibly. But it could have been that you're not smart, you're not strong, you're not wise, you're not, there's nothing great about you. You just happen to be at the right place at the right time, and time and chance happened to you, and you ended up getting some blessing. It could be. And you know why it could be? Because Solomon said time and chance happeneth to them all. That's why it could be, because the Bible says it. Let me define chance for you. Chance is the falling out or happening of events, the way in which things fall out, fortune, case, happening or occurrence of things in a particular way, a casual or fortuitous circumstance, accident. So when it says time and chance happeneth to them all, sometimes things just fall out. They just happen, right? This world, I mean, God set up the laws of this world, and then things just kind of happen. And he can step in and he can make things specifically happen if he wants to. But you know what? Sometimes things just happen. That's the way he's built the world. That's how it works. Chance is fortune, and fortune is chance, hap or luck. Regarded as the cause of events or changes in men's affairs. So this verse clearly teaches that luck happens to all men at times. It teaches that sometimes things fall into our laps that we are not working for and that we are not deserving of. It just happens. You ever wonder how that doofus of a boss of yours ended up getting that position? Time and chance happeneth to them all. How did that guy get that beautiful woman? Time and chance happeneth to them all, right? Sometimes that's how it works. How did that guy get so lucky to just have that incredible deal just laying right before him, and all he had to do was just step into it? Time and chance happeneth to them all. Now, God can allow things to happen by chance and still be sovereign. You see, I think people like to set up this false dichotomy that if God is sovereign, there can't be chance. Why? Why can't God be sovereign and allow chance to happen? What's the problem with that? God allows things to happen. I'll give you a couple of verses for this. I'll prove it to you. And this is going to prove, this fact that God allows things to happen is going to prove something else. Look at 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 7. And if you think about it, this is the way it has to be, or else we're puppets on a string. One of the two. If God absolutely controls everything in the universe actively, then we're puppets on a string. And there's no way of getting around it. Right? People say, oh, no, we're not. Right? Well, you know what that means also? It means that if he actively controls all things in the universe, and I'm getting ahead of myself, I'll get there next week, that means he controls sin too. And that means he makes people sin. Because sin is a thing, sin is an action, and if God controls all actions and causes all actions, he causes sin. And that is one thing that God does not cause. God allows things to happen. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians 16, 17. Oh, 7. I was 17 didn't look right there. 7, thank you. Paul says, for I will not see you, now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. If the Lord permit. Permit means to allow, suffer, give leave, not to prevent. If the Lord allows it, in other words. Paul says, I'm going to do this if God allows it. Well, what does that mean? That means that God allows things to happen, right? And that means if God allows things to happen, he's not actively causing them to happen, is he? But I'll give you one more verse and then I'll get to that point. Look at Hebrews 6 and verse 3. Hebrews 6 and verse 3. Short little verse. And this we will do if God permit. He says we're going to move on past the basics of the doctrine and teach you some deep things here. We're going to do this if God permit, if God allows it. So if God allows some things to happen, that demands that he does not actively cause those things to happen, or else words have no meaning. You can't allow something to happen and actively cause it to happen at the same time. That doesn't make any sense. If you allow it to happen, that means that you're just allowing it. You're stepping back and allowing it. You're not causing it to happen actively. Let me just give you a simple example. So maybe I got a little kid and I got a light switch on the wall. There's two ways that light switch could get turned on. I could pick up the little kid and take his little finger and I could make him walk over there and I could put his finger on that light switch and I could push it up. I could cause that child to turn on that light. Or I could watch the little tyke and I could see him see that little light switch and he's like, huh. And I could watch him run over there and I could not stop him. In his own free will, he walks over there and flips that light on. I permitted it. Did I cause it actively? No, I did not. I did not actively cause that light to turn on. I permitted it, and by permitting it, that allowed it to happen, but I didn't actively cause it like I did whenever I marched him over there and took his little finger and pushed it up. See, the Calvinists think that the absoluters, that everything that happens in life is God marching you over to that light switch and forcing your finger up. That's not how God does things. God permits and allows you to do certain things of your own free will. He does not allow you to determine to change your nature and to change yourself from being dead in trespasses and sins to being alive. He doesn't allow you to resurrect your spirit, right? He doesn't allow you to save yourself because it's impossible. You can't, right? He does do that. He is actively cause your eternal salvation, your eternal life, but he does not actively cause every little thing you do in this world. And I'll have more to say about that next time. So just because a thing happens by chance, and things do, I just read you that, doesn't mean that God has no control over it or that he didn't know it was going to happen. That does not follow. Things can happen by chance and God still has control over them and God still knows what's going to happen. He knows everything. He knows all the possibilities that could happen. Look at Psalm 147 verse 5. It just says that great is the Lord's understanding is infinite. Let me get you the exact text. Psalm 147 in verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power, his understanding is infinite. So yes, he knows everything. And if God lets chance happen and some guy wins the lottery, God knew who was going to win the lottery. That doesn't mean that he actively caused it just because he knows the future and he knows what's going to happen. If I videotaped a football game and then watched it later, and I know who won the game, and I can watch the videotape later so I can see what's going to happen, right? And so in a sense, I know the future, you could say, kind of, and I know who won the game, but that doesn't mean that I caused them to win the game. It's just that I know who won the game. My knowing something doesn't mean that I caused it to happen necessarily. So it's not exactly, I don't have infinite knowledge and I don't have infinite power and I couldn't have affected the game anyway, but it's just an example. So therefore, nothing that happens by chance happens without God knowing about it and permitting it to happen. Therefore, God has a design in chance when he allows the outcome of chance to occur. Right? God can allow chance to happen as part of his control of all things. Remember Proverbs 21 and verse 1? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. That water can flow within the banks of that river by chance, but yet God, through the banks of the river, can determine where that water ultimately ends up. Right? He can allow chance to happen and ultimately accomplish his design through allowing chance to happen. Next time, we'll pick up with the rest of this study, Lord willing.